Welcome back in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg is with us with 2 hours to go before Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock, having a great time here at Frazier's. Enjoyed talking to Kevin Frazier just a few minutes ago. I saw Will West just a few minutes ago on Twitter share a message from somebody saying that Frazier's just left their home. They're locally owned and operated. They'll do a great job for you. They'll take care of you. They'll help you find whatever you need. So if you have thought about flooring, if you know you want to get new flooring, then you have to call Frazier's. Call them right now, 546-4850, 546-4850, located on Western Avenue. That's where Sports 180 will be until 3 o'clock with all kinds of topics to cover right now, Heather. Football, baseball is getting more attention when you're able to bring in Joe Rexroad for coverage. That says it's a big deal. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic was on with us last hour and said he'll be making the drive over from Nashville to Knoxville for the Tennessee Vanderbilt series this upcoming weekend. So as this week goes along, I think we'll be getting into this series even more. Tennessee has a baseball game today. Softball in action yesterday and tomorrow. So the Vanderbilt series this upcoming weekend will probably have the spotlight in the college baseball world this week.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And what one game is kind of holding Tennessee back in the SEC East standing. So with, I think, Vanderbilt and Kentucky ahead of Tennessee, so they could even climb up in the SEC standings. And the balls have been strong in SEC play season at home this year so far. 8 of their 10 league wins coming at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. So that's huge as well, having that home field advantage. Hopefully they'll have it full, or at least, you know, to their maximum capacity. And the crowd will be nice and feisty and a little wild. And I just... It's intriguing as heck. This is going to be on SEC Network Plus. Bob Kessling's going to have the call on the SEC Network Plus, so you can tune in there if you can't get a ticket to Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And then, of course, our own John Wilkerson will be on the call for the radio here on the Sports Animal. But this is it's huge. The fact that we're talking about Tennessee baseball not only solidly in the SEC tournament field, but also a team that is getting some love when it comes to College World Series talk. It's just nothing short of just grand. I mean, this is kind of how it was when I was back in college, so you're getting those nostalgia vibes, too, of what Rod Delmonico was able to do at Tennessee.
Yep, Tennessee tied atop the SEC in the standings, or if you look at best record when you look at the two divisions, and then Tennessee-Vanderbilt, the winner is planning, I'm sure, to come out of this weekend on top. You have South Carolina at 8-4 in the East, so that's worth paying attention to as well. But Tennessee's right there in the mix with the best in the nation. Which order do you go? Do you say the best in the SEC, which means the best in the nation? Because those are the same conversations, right? But it's a huge one for Tennessee against Vanderbilt. I don't know how it's going to go. Vanderbilt's pitching at the top is so impressive. They had a tough weekend, though, getting lit up in a couple of games, the first and the third, by Georgia this past weekend. So we'll see, but a lot of attention on Tennessee Vanderbilt coming up this week, and it's at a time where basketball is in a big transition with coaching changes and a lot of roster change that's taking place, and then of course football trying to get off the ground with Josh Heupel taking over. So a good time for Tennessee baseball to give fans something to get excited about as they're kind of waiting on the other side. Plus, there is no basketball for several months. There is no football for several months. So baseball's added. And you know, in 2001, 2005, when they're making big runs, fans got into it. Fans are really excited, and it's been a tough go for a long time for Tennessee baseball in the last few years. Tony Vitello has started to turn that conversation back to the Vols being relevant, the Vols being competitive, and now it looks like the best they've been since he's arrived in Knoxville.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think if you're Danny White, if you're anybody that's paying attention, you want to keep Tony Vitello happy, and you want to make sure that this train keeps rolling down the tracks and he's not maybe enticed at another place, because it wasn't for a lack of trying that Tennessee went on these big, long droughts in baseball. I mean, we talked about it yesterday a little bit, the Dave Serrano hire, that was a big commitment. They went out and got one of the hottest names in college baseball, and it just didn't pan out. So now that it's panning out with a guy that knows the landscape, had been in the SEC before, and is doing things that he's doing this early on in his tenure, you don't want to let that go. I mean, he's got to become a huge priority, and his wish list needs to become a huge priority for this university, in my opinion.
Yep. Investment in the sport, as much as an investment in the contract for Tony Vitello, continues to be a big part of the conversation. So that's part of what we're talking about today, as well as Tennessee with some more details on the Orange and White game. Heather, coming up in 11 days, a week from Saturday, April 24th, the Orange and White game will begin at 4 o'clock at Neyland Stadium. Free entry tickets will not be required. The game will be broadcast on SEC Network Plus, so it'll be available on streaming if you'd like to watch, but free entry into Neyland Stadium if you'd like to attend the game.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is it's going to be a family-friendly environment. It's going to feel like a little more normalcy after just the most abnormal year of all of our lives. But you're not going to need any tickets. Gates are going to open at 2:30. You will have to wear a face covering to get into the stadium, and also the clear bag policy is going to apply. So this is just, you know, a regular event back in Neyland Stadium. They're going to have Vol Village set up in the parking lot that's right across the street from Gate 21. So that's going to be rocking and rolling. Sterl the Pearl's going to be there. That's Lot 9, just FYI. That's going to be tons of photo opportunities. Smokey's going to be there. They'll have food vendors, giveaways, all kinds of activities. And then the band, which is something that we didn't get to see last year. The band being back in Neyland Stadium and performing, and it's just fun. We got the football last year, sort of. We didn't get all the hoopla, so enjoy in the hoopla because that's what makes it special.
We had Corte Sapp on yesterday. He gave a little love to Sterl the Pearl when he was talking about third down for what in 2015, how that had Neyland Stadium all fired up. So, yeah, Sterl the Pearl being involved. He will bring the energy, I can promise you that, on April 24th.
Yeah, and it just goes to show when something is hot and it's going viral and everybody's jumping on, it is so cool. And I'll never forget when it just absolutely soured. Who was Tennessee? You would remember this because we were sitting right next to each other in the press box. Tennessee just getting thrashed. And finally, they got to third down. It was late in the fourth quarter, and they played the third down for what? And me and you looked at each other like, who is in charge of that button? Like, I mean, when it went sour fast.
Yeah, when Tennessee was getting thrashed, you have to be a little more specific. But
but you do remember that, right? You might not really. I do. Except for the team of who Tennessee was playing, I just remember being in Neyland Stadium and feeling that moment like, well, that was misguided.
It wasn't a blowout, but I remember the 2015 Arkansas game. Arkansas's third down conversion percentage was so solid that in the second half during that game, when that song started to play, the Arkansas bench was more into it than the Tennessee fans were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah, that was one of the games where Tennessee had, it was very early, but Tennessee had a big lead. You had the return by Evan Berry, and then Arkansas took back control and won that game. That was a really disappointing loss. At the time, it was like, well, their physical is a tough matchup, and it wasn't an easy matchup, but it also was not a very good Brett Bielema team. It was kind of lost in between the, lost in that mix of, well, they lost to Florida, probably shouldn't have, lost to Oklahoma, and I don't know if they should have or not. It was a tough game where they were, it seemed like literally a shoestring tackle away several times from taking down Baker and winning the game and just fell short.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Kurt Majid injury in that game.
Oh, the freak where he just broke his hip on the kickoff return. Oh, yeah. And he even talked about that. Remember when he joined the show, he was our call of all a long, long time ago, but he talked about that injury. He walked off the sideline. He goes, something wasn't right. And they said it's like 1 in 100,000 of even having an injury like that with the amount of force that it takes to break that part of his hip. It was just so wild.
Yeah, Kurt's on that list of, man, what a terrific player, but unfortunate the injuries he had to deal with, which he made it to the NFL, and I think he would have had a long career if he hadn't suffered the injuries that he did, which kept him from being able to play longer.
And shouts to him, still carrying the athletic torch. Follow him on Instagram. He's awesome. I think he's living that influencer lifestyle. He's got him a little deal with Garmin, as far as I can tell, and he just completed his first Spartan race. So he's like all into competitive athletics. His first Spartan race was over the weekend, so I always like his posts, watch his stories. Dude is in just monster shape. So, yeah, I agree with you. If things could have worked out differently, maybe you don't have the injuries. You're talking about a nice, long NFL career.
Are you still liking my posts on Insta?
Absolutely. Anytime there's a Max or Owen sighting, yeah. I mean, I can actually hop on different accounts and like it multiple times. If it's just you, well, Chester Cheetah, he got some love too.
Last week had a great time at the Fast Stop and hung out with Chester. Look at Kurt. Kurt's blowing up. Good for him. Kurt Majette.
I know. You need
to
get on that influencer lifestyle.
I'm ready.
I think you could do it.
I'm available. I am available. Hit me up. We'll come back here on Sports 180 today at Frazier's Carpet 1-656-9900 if you would like to join us. A little bit later in the hour, some interesting rankings from ESPN. I need an explanation on this top 10 for the upcoming college football season. We'll have that for you a little bit later in the hour as we continue a lot to cover Tennessee football, basketball, and everything else going on. Again, live at Frazier's Carpet 1 today. You can call them. They'll come to you, 546-4850. This is 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Download the WNML app, and you can listen on the go anytime. You can listen on demand in the podcast section, as well as on Apple Podcasts and our website, 99.1thesportsanimal.com, which has blogs, information on the Orange and White game. Whatever you're looking for, find it online, 99.1thesportsanimal.com. Having a great time today at Frazier's Carpet 1, and they are prepared. They know springtime can bring a lot of people being interested in changing some of the flooring in your home, whatever the case might be. Frazier's has been here for 70 years. The Frazier family has been helping make changes, create beautiful rooms. Whatever you want to get done, they can help you with all the options. Heather, we're talking carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl tile, plank. They understand selection, value, and quality installation. That's what you get with Frazier's.
Yeah, and absolutely. The biggest thing, too, they also understand having access to things that are already in stock and stockpiling all that selection for you so that if you do decide to upgrade your flooring surfaces, they can get you on the books pretty quick. And it's a quick turnaround whenever they're able to get in there, install all of that, and let you start enjoying those new floors. Right now, you can take advantage of in-stock specials like the in-stock glue-down luxury vinyl plank starting as low as 69 cents a square foot, in-stock 5-inch wide hand-scraped hickory hardwood starting as low as $1.99 a square foot, floating luxury vinyl plank with a pad starting as low as $1.59 a square foot, soft plush carpet in popular colors and flex. Man, this is as low as 69 cents a square foot, and then in-stock carpet tiles, solids, and patterns starting as low as $1.39 a square foot. So it's everything for the floor from the store you trust more. That's Frazier's Carpet 1.
Call them up, 546-4850. Heather, yesterday was a tough day in Knoxville with what happened at Austin East High School, and it's been a tough time. Yesterday was not the first day. It's unfortunately the latest in what has been a really challenging time with the shooting that took place at Austin East that left a student dead and a police officer injured at Austin East. And it's been a really difficult time for, I know, so many people in that community. We're talking about the students, we're talking about their families, their parents, and all the concern. And yesterday was a tough one to follow with what happened at the school.
It absolutely was. And I know there's a lot of people, you know, kind of reaching out in the back channels trying to figure out, okay, what can we do to help? Because this is the acts of violence are now mounting in this one community. And I hope everybody knows that you know, everybody is thinking about and embracing the Austin East community. There are a lot of people that want to do something to help cut down the amount of violence that this community is experiencing. And I think people are just searching for, okay, what can we do? And if anybody, I would encourage, if any community leaders, if any parents out there that just need support and need help with going a different direction, reach out to us. You can reach me on my Facebook page. You can reach out to Josh. You can reach out to the radio station. I mean, this is a big time community. You know, we've followed Austin East and their sports programs for years, as Josh and I used to do the high school football coverage many, many moons ago. But there are a lot of people out there that care and that want to see this community thrive and don't want to see it plagued by violence. And if you've got any ideas and you just need support, you can reach out to any of us, because I think there are a lot of people that want to help.
Earlier this morning, the starting lineup had a chance to talk to Marcus Stanton, who's been on this show as well, Austin East boys basketball coach, and just talked about, you know, part of what happened yesterday and what they're dealing with. I encourage you to check out the entire interview. As I mentioned, you can check them out on our website and in the podcast app as well. But wanted you to hear a little bit of that. Marcus Stanton, Austin East boys basketball coach, talking about yesterday and trying to work through what is such a difficult and challenging time.
For the last 18 hours, it's been different. It's been really different. It's been difficult. Not a lot of sleep. It's one of those things you go into and you can't really process it while it's happening or even right after it's happening. It's just so much going on for our kids and our community, and a lot of that goes through your mind. And last night was a sleepless night, and it's, you know, you think about the victims, but, you know, as always, as a teacher, as a coach at Austin East, your main concern is your kids. We have all these kids there, and you wonder what they're going through. So I spent a lot of last night texting a lot of the guys on the basketball team, seeing how they were doing, hoping that they could, you know, process this and try to get some rest themselves. And I know this is going to be a tough one. We've already had a really tough year outside of COVID. But this has been a lot for our kids, for our parents, for our whole neighborhood and community to process. And last night was a different night than any night I've ever had. This was something that we've never had to happen at Austin East. And God willing, it'll never happen again. So if I could just sum up last night in one word, it was restless.
The big question a lot of us, the people have asked, it's how are the kids handling it? Marcus, how are your players handling it? How are your students handling it?
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell because you're not there with them. This has never happened before. You know, every text message I get back is like, I'm good, coach. How are you? I'm good. How are you? And, you know, we have strong kids, but kids shouldn't have to be strong through stuff like this. Parents shouldn't have to go through stuff like this. The teachers that go there, the staff, nobody should have to go through anything like this. And, you know, over the phone, which, you know, we've made, you know, our lives have revolved around our phones and our computers now, but this is a time where you want to be with your kids. You want to see them. You want to make sure they're okay. And we can't do that right now, but I hope that they're okay, like they're saying, but I know this is hard. It's hard for everybody. It's hard for the whole community. We have a big community of people that love Austin East, that love East Knoxville. But, you know, that's not the part that gets shown because of stuff like this, because it takes away so much. It's taken away a life. It's injured people. You know, it's changed everybody that was involved in that. You know, life has changed for the rest of their lives. And you just hope for the best and pray for everybody, and you hope you get everybody else's prayers.
Austin East coach Marcus Stanton, part of his conversation, what he had to say earlier today on the starting lineup, and appreciate him taking the time to join our station. And as I mentioned, yesterday was one incident of many that they've had to deal with, too many that they've had to deal with four Austin East students having been killed by gun violence earlier in the year. So what they're dealing with, and as you heard him say there, you hope they're doing okay, but realistically they can't be. You know, not everybody. So all the best. But this has been an ongoing conversation, and it got harder yesterday.
Yeah, and they have made counselors available. So if there are any students out there, I would encourage them, take advantage of those opportunities. Sometimes it's just nice to talk to somebody. It doesn't mean you're weak or anything like that. Everybody needs help as we pay more and more attention to mental health and the toll that trauma takes on you. And then also, again, just anybody, if you're a pastor in that community, if you are a city council member, anything, and you've got ideas about how to stop these acts of violence in this one particular community, reach out to people, because there are a lot of people. I mean, I was reaching out behind closed doors yesterday, trying to, like, is there anything we can do? Because I don't think anybody deserves it. A community does not deserve to be held hostage by violence, and if there is help to be given, there are a lot of people that want to help. And, you know, we're only as strong as the weakest links in society, and so you want to just make everybody stronger and better. And if anybody has ideas, you know, reach out, because I would love to hear them, and I know there's a lot of listening ears right now.
Absolutely. We will continue here on Sports 180. We have 90 minutes to go. We continue at Frazier's Carpet One. We're going to get back to SEC, Tennessee football, some interesting rankings that we'll tell you about when we come back. Right now we have a Midday Sports Minute for you with Joel Silverberg here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us today on Sports 180. Be with you for another hour and a half. We'll talk to Jay Busby 1 hour from now from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his reaction to how things played out at Augusta as he was there this past weekend. We'll talk to Jay about that and NFL news coming up in 1 hour. As we continue at Frazier's Carpet One today, no money down, free financing for 18 months. It's a great time to call Frazier's at 546-4850. Anytime you're thinking about flooring, it's the time to call Frazier's because they'll come to you with a free in-home estimate. Let them make it easy for you. That's what Frazier's will do. They've been here for 70 years, locally owned and operated. They've helped the Ward House. Call Frazier's up, 546-4850, right here on Western Avenue. And, Heather, I've got to get your reaction to this. There's one ranking that might make Tennessee fans feel a little bit better here, but this one just more confuses me than anything. It's getting a lot of attention today, and at the end of this, I'll probably say don't pay too much attention to it. But the ESPN Football Power Index ranking was updated, I suppose, as it was making the rounds. ESPN was sharing it. And when you look at the top three, it's going to make some sense to you. Alabama, number one, no surprise. Oklahoma, number two, okay. Clemson, number three, sure. Number four, Iowa State, just ahead of Ohio State. That's probably going to catch you off guard. Then number six, Texas A&M, okay, back to normal. Number seven, Georgia, maybe a little low, but okay, sure. And then number eight, the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You told me about the top 10 when we were doing our pre-show chat, and I had to, did I have to confirm if we were talking football? I was confused by the entire conversation.
and I was confused by, I was like, so did I read, is this FPI or was this strength of schedule? It's like, I like got confused while I was doing it. Both of us were kind of looking at each other on FaceTime. Mississippi State in the top 15. Did I miss a flux of, transfers / five-star early enrollees, or am I just sleeping on Mike Leach?
Asked me if they got a five-star quarterback transfer, and I said, who cares if they did? So I don't get it. So I looked at the other rankings thinking, am I just behind on something? And SP Plus, no, nowhere close to that. And then I looked at another ranking that was being released today from Adam McClintock, who does a bunch of analytical work. He works with Dave Bartu, and they actually work with football programs and putting staffs together, and nope, Mississippi State's not anywhere close to the top 10. So honestly, I'm not sure what this is, but I imagine the Football Power Index is getting a lot of attention today because Mississippi State showed up in the top 10. So hey, if Mike Leach gets them anywhere close to that, congrats, and he'll get some deserved praise at the end playing in the SEC West. I don't personally see Mississippi State being a top 10 team, and I don't know anybody that expects that. I also saw the strength of schedule still had them, and they had them in the top 15, which makes sense. They play in the SEC West, so that schedule plus that personnel to me is not going to equal anywhere close to the top 10, but we'll see.
Yeah, so my biggest question after all of that data that we just laid out on the table is not, is the FPI flawed, but how badly FPI flawed?
Yeah. Well, this is why I when I talk about rankings and analytical numbers, why do you think I go SP Plus, which, by the way, is also under the ESPN umbrella now. That's Bill Connolly's work. But he has Mississippi State at number 44. That's quite a gap between the two rankings. FPI putting Mississippi State at number 44, number 8, and then SP Plus has Mississippi State at number 44. Where is Tennessee, you might wonder? Well, according to SP Plus, Tennessee is number 49. This is something that we've talked about in the past. And then SP Plus, that was SP Plus, has Tennessee at number 49. And then Adam McClintock's rankings, this is where you might get a little bit more excited. He's a little more bullish on the Vols. He has Tennessee at number 34. Tennessee number 34 for 2021. And as he notes, this will be adjusted and updated. But he has Tennessee one spot ahead of Kentucky at number 35. Two spots, by the way, behind Mississippi State, which is number 32 in his ranking. And then Ole Miss, which is coached by Lane Kiffin and, more importantly, is on Tennessee's schedule this year, is number 31. Missouri would be of note at number 42, but number 34 for Tennessee, according to Adam McClintock's rankings right now. April rankings, August, and certainly September will matter more.
Yeah, and I'm anxious to see, you know, where Tennessee actually is going to be, because, you know, one of the theories that we have floated out, or that I have floated out, is maybe last year was really just a result of a COVID year, which was unlike any other, of course. And mixed with the fact that Jeremy Pruitt, which wasn't very good at his job. So maybe you can blame COVID and coaching for Tennessee falling so short last year. Maybe this year just looks better with a fresh coat of paint on it. You know, new eyes on the program with Josh Heupel and his staff and what they're able to do. Maybe you get more production out of a lot of the key pieces that are still on this roster that carried over from last year. I would feel better about that, though, again, if you had somebody like an Eric Gray that was coming back. We've talked about that, or Henry Toutoua, Quaveris Crouch, or the combo of both.
Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy, yeah. Wanya Morris. See, that's Bryce Thompson. Yeah. That, to me, is the issue here. Yeah. And I wonder how that's going to be viewed, because while I think you have a number of young players who do have a lot of talent and potential, when you're talking about potential with basically, I don't know, 90% of the roster.
Yeah, because everything's unproven.
That's a real issue. So that's the challenge to come back with is, yeah, I like what a lot of these players could become, but if you're trying to compare it to last year's team, that would be the issue, is that the best players, the more experienced players on last year's team, many of them are gone. You do have Cade Mays back. You do have several offensive linemen with a good amount of experience, and you do have a defensive line that's back, but, man, they have to be a lot better, too. They have to be a lot better, and they have a chance to be with Rodney Garner coaching them. But, you know, if you have the same conversation for 2 or 3 years about the same players, then you start to wonder. Linebacker, I know they weren't very good, but I also don't see how they could be better. And then in the secondary, I think you have some good players there. But you have to replace Bryce Thompson. That's not easy. So there's a yeah but to all of this, I would say, except for quarterback. I have a hard time believing quarterback will not be better than it was the last couple of years.
Yeah, quarterback, and I feel like defensive line, just by default, just knowing what we know. I mean, obviously the defensive line coach got fired 4 games into the season last year, and then was coached by somebody that didn't have defensive line coaching experience. Like, by default, having all those guys back, it's just got to be better with Rodney Gardner, who is a tried and true, very good coach in the SEC. So
I'm not ready to say that. I mean they were there for the last 2 years. Better, sure. I expect that they're going to be better. Noticeably, I can't say that.
Okay.
At all. No,
okay.
I can't say that at all.
I'm gonna go with a little more optimistic, you know, maybe a little more bullish on that group because of the coaching and like I said, last year was a weird year for a lot of different reasons, and maybe things shake out. But I totally agree with your point too, and piggybacking on the okay, you talk about them year after year after year. At some point in time, there's no more potential. Like, you've just been talking about them too long. I heard on Locked On Vols today, Eric Kane, it was a Twitter Tuesday, and somebody asked, is J.J. Peterson a real person? I thought that was very appropriate for the conversation that we are having today. He is a real person, and he has feelings, too.
He's no just not a Tennessee football player. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. We had the same conversation with Tyler Byrd. Remember all those years? It's like, oh, Tyler Byrd, look at all this upside. Look at this athleticism. Look at this body type. I mean, I feel like LaTroy Lewis also fit into that category for me. It's like, you looked at him, and you're like, this guy looks like an all-pro in the NFL, and he did go on and play a few seasons in the NFL, but never quite reached his potential here at Tennessee for, you know, half.
Oh, I think LaTroy did. Yeah, yeah.
You
I would not
so?
Put him in. Yeah, he was not as highly regarded. He wasn't like he was a 3-star prospect, I think. So
okay.
Considering he had to come back from a torn ACL, no, I think LaTroy lived up to
okay.
his potential. For
I
sure.
must have had him. I think I had maybe two. I must have misevaluated what he was as a recruit. I'm just talking about
he's a good,
like,
yeah,
when
he's
you
a
looked
nice prospect,
at him
but
physically. Holy smokes, he just looked, you know,
yeah,
he was built different. And so when you just did the eye test, I would say not living up to maybe the eye test. But if he was a 3-star recruit and made it to the NFL, that's a success story in my opinion. So I don't want to miscategorize him.
Yeah, yeah, he's a 3-star guy. I'm going to look at the composite number 450 player in the country.
See, I mean,
he's a good player, but yeah, LaTroy. Yeah, he was a part of a defensive line that was, you know, pretty talented, and guys that Kendall Vickers played this past year for the Raiders. Was on that 2016 defensive line. Corey Vereen, who I think is going to join us later this week,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. He's coming up on Thursday, so looking forward to that, as we're going to get a nice little interview with him. He was always one of the most fascinating people to talk to. So incredibly good at football, but then also just very intelligent. I mean, I felt very inadequate talking to him, especially when he's like busting out computer science lingo.
There you go. Like when I'm trying to throw some spreadsheets at you during the show.
Yeah, if you're asking me to do any sort of functions on the Excel, I'm gonna need a refresher course.
So did to close out this segment, that make you feel a little bit better? A top 35 ranking from Adam McClintock. The others, by the way, Where did SP Plus have Tennessee? Inside the top 50, but at number 49 according to SP Plus, number 48 according to the FPI.
I think just because of what I know about SP Plus and how reliable and trustworthy they are, just my familiarity, I guess I should say, with SP Plus, I tend to lean more towards that ranking and being a top 50 team. That's kind of what I've had in my mind about Tennessee. They're probably in the 40 to 50 range, and can you be better than that? I like the positivity from McClintock's analytics, so that's nice. Maybe that's the ceiling. You know, if you can get to a top 35 team, I think that would be huge in Josh Heupel's first year, but I'm just so in wait-and-see mode to see how everything comes together. I got to see some wins on Saturday, Josh. We got to see some movement up and down the field in positive relation to the scoreboard. So
I understand. Yeah. I do. 11 days away from Tennessee at the Orange and White game. You can see the Vols there coming up 4 o'clock April 24th at Neyland Stadium. Free entry to the game. We'll come back. We are with you until 3 o'clock here at Frazier's Carpet One. And a note on Julian Edelman, who called it a career yesterday. It really is incredible what he accomplished in the postseason with a team, of course, that accomplished a lot. We'll tell you about that with our pop-up fact coming up next. Will it affect your thoughts on Edelman, Hall of Fame or not? We'll return with it here on Sports 180 today at Frazier's Carpet One on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. Final segment to hour number two. Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock this afternoon, so we'll be with you until then at Frazier's Carpet One. Heather, sometime in the middle of this fall, during a Buccaneers game, are you going to look up in the sky, see a parachute, and it's Julian Edelman flying down in to join that offense with Tom Brady and the Bucs?
That would just be fantastic. I hope the beard is getting longer, because that means a playoff push is coming. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love Julian Edelman. I hate so much that injuries are basically what's going to cause him to retire. And you know, at 34 years old, you want him to be able to walk for the rest of his life. So he's got a young daughter that he needs to be very interactive with. But man, I'm telling you, Julian Edelman, the friendship that he has with Tom Brady and that they've been able to showcase on Instagram and social media over the past several years, just awesome. I think he's an incredible player, you know, a 5'10 guy for all the shorter guys that are out there. It gives you hope that, hey, I can be this good at something. But yeah, it's just
nothing short about 5'10, by the way.
Well, maybe in NFL wide receiver standards. We're only talking
in that world. Yes. In the NFL wide receiver world. Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. So it's such a great story. And a couple of seventh round draft picks, man. It doesn't get more poetic than that in a sport that is so dominated by the early rounds, and that's where all the talent comes from. And you know, these are the best of the best. For Tom Brady to ascend to GOAT status where he was drafted, and now Julian Edelman. I don't know if he'll get into the Hall of Fame. I still kind of think he is, based on what he was able to do so many times, so many clutch situations in the postseason, but he probably won't. But still, to be a Super Bowl MVP, there's not a lot of those guys out there. To ascend to that status, that's pretty huge.
Julian Edelman retiring yesterday, that leads us into today's pop-up fact. And you mentioned the postseason, what he was able to do. Heather, Julian Edelman retires ranking second all-time with 118 postseason receptions. Number one, it's a pretty easy guess, is Jerry Rice. He's at 151. It's another reminder of everything that Jerry Rice was able to do. His regular season and his postseason numbers seem untouchable in an era where they're throwing the ball more than ever. But Julian Edelman, in his career, putting up numbers that rank him second all-time with 118 postseason receptions. That would, to me, that would be the greatest case you're making for him to be a Hall of Famer. I don't think that it's particularly close. When I look at the regular season is still a huge factor there, and while he was a really good player, at no point was he like one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very, I say that meaning that like at no point was he ever in the conversation of, OK, Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, the best receivers, Larry Fitzgerald in the NFL. But he was a terrific player, and he had a terrific connection with Tom Brady, and his success speaks for itself in that he won rings, and he made a lot of money, and he'll be a legend in New England forever for what he was able to do in 11 seasons, having been a seventh-round pick, as you mentioned, to doing all that for the Patriots.
Yeah. And so I just, you know, he's going to live in Patriots lore forever. Like you said, he was a guy that was extremely reliable, catching like 65% of his passes in the postseason. So just a huge target for Tom Brady. And I'm sure if he's in a bar in Boston, he's not paying for anything.
Good to go.
Yeah, he is good to go. And just, yeah, he's a fun follow on social media if people are into that. I know I am. I like following him and, of course, Tom Brady. But, yeah, it's just what he was able to do so many times in clutch situations and against the best of the best competition. You know, I mean, not everybody's from the NFC East that gets into the playoffs, Josh Ward. I mean, there's really good, stout competition on the AFC side of things. And so he was doing that in the postseason, showing up big and scoring touchdowns. So I just – I wonder where he's going to finish. I don't think he makes it to the Hall of Fame, but still an incredible run for Julian Edelman.
Yeah, no doubt. His most memorable moment, I would say, is the diving over the defender's catch in the comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. It's a play where you look at it. I guess that's the play that makes up for the Tyree catch, right? Because that's another one where you're thinking, I don't really know how that even happened, except for watching it and seeing that it did occur. So I think that's your makeup for the David Tyree fingertips against the helmet. But no doubt, Hall of Fame or not, a terrific career for Julian Edelman, who called it a career yesterday. He finishes second behind Jerry Rice all time with 118 postseason receptions. That's today's pop-up fact. It's brought to you by Burton McKinnish Law.
Burton McKinnish Law has offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. So if you've got a family law case, divorce, criminal defense, DUI, Social Security, or personal injury, Burton McKinnish can help. All people are equal before the law, and a good attorney will make the difference. Visit burtonmckinnish.com.
And I do wonder, would there be a chance that he returns? But I'm guessing this is probably it. But it's a natural reaction. And one reason you wonder is, well, Gronk came out.
Gronk did it.
What did Gronk retire at, 29?
Yeah,
Edelman,
under 30.
34 is young. We're going to agree on that. But in football, not as young. So he called it a career. My guess is that that's it. But we'll wonder until we don't see him probably out there.
Well, especially now in the era of, hey, take 6 months off, a year off and come back, get your body right. I mean, people are investing in all the sports science and recovery and this and that. You might feel good. At 35, Edelman might wake up and be like, man, I'm feeling loosened up. The legs are working nice. Let's run it back.
Time off can help. I think everyone agrees with that. One other NFL note before we close out this hour. I see from Tom Pelissero reporting here in the last 10 minutes. The NFL today informed clubs that any team employee who refuses a COVID-19 vaccination without, quote, bona fide medical or religious ground will be barred from Tier 1 or Tier 2 status and thus have restricted access within the team facility and not work directly with players, quoting sources. So Tom Pelissero reporting here in the last 10 minutes, the NFL has told clubs, hey, you better be getting the vaccination if you want to maintain that Tier 1 or Tier 2 status.
I'm sure that they're not the only employer that is out there that is mandating vaccine status. You know, it's going to be up to each individual to do what's right for them and their family. That's what I've said all during the pandemic, and kind of continue to beat that drum.
Here's what I'm very confident in is that will be received with zero debate on social media.
Because so many things are.
Right.
So many things, you just scroll and you keep scrolling, right? It doesn't cause you to perk up and pay attention.
I go to Twitter and Facebook for unity and agreement. That's why I check it out. We'll come back. One more hour of Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. Today we are at Frazier's Carpet One. We'll agree on this. Saving money is fun, and updating your flooring can make a big difference at your home. Frazier's can help you with that. Call them up, 546-4850. We'll continue on 99.1, the Sports Animal.